Book of Ephesians is going to chapter number one. I realize Chad's been going through the book of Ephesians, but I have to go back and correct him, so bear with me a little bit. No, seriously, there is so much that can be said, thought of when we read this tremendous book. And I've been studying it since I was saved. Matter of fact, I think it was the first book of the Bible I ever read. And so this morning as we read Ephesians chapter 1, I want us to know something. I want us to see everything that is bestowed to us. It actually goes on into chapters 2 and 3. You know, we preachers would probably do ourselves a favor if we took this into our messages, whereby God is seen, and then make application. For when we see God, then we could see ourselves the need. When we see the Lord, our hearts, I believe, are sin. All that transpired on those 3 days of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection is phenomenal and mind-boggling. Many of the blessings and transactions of those 3 days are summarized in these chapters. I'll try to point out a few. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are in Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Normally I read through that. It's just like an introduction I don't pay a lot of attention to. But grace. Somebody said it's an alliteration of God's riches. And what a glorious, glorious thing. And peace from God our Father. The most notable thing when I got saved was the peace of God. And then in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us. Think about that. God chose us. God cared enough. He chose us. Let me ask you something. When you were a kid and they were choosing up a team for baseball or basketball, and you got to be the third or the fourth and then the fifth one, and you felt like you were left out. It was always great to be chosen right away. But God has chosen all of us. And notice here, in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. It says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Predestinated us unto something. It is unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. If you're saved this morning, you have been adopted into the family of God. I read once, I wish I could find proof for it, but I read once that an adopted child has more rights than a born child. And if it is true, that makes this verse even greater. It says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us, notice that word, accepted in the beloved. Accepted in the beloved. I find no other one except Jesus being spoken of as the beloved one. Accepted in him. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Verse 8 and 9 says, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. That word prudence means caution. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath proposed in himself. He's made known something marvelous, the mystery of his will. I'm going to cease ending there this morning, have prayer, and then I want to take you back to verse number 4. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have this marvelous privilege to have the Word of God in our hands this morning. We thank you that more than our hands, it can be in our hearts. We thank you this morning for its power. We thank you, O God, this morning for the privilege to be spoken to by it. We ask you this morning that you might use this time, anoint this preacher, for we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Notice verse number 4. It says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. This takes place in eternity past. He says that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Before the very foundation of the world, God had purpose for us. Do you see what that purpose is? To be holy, to be holiness. And so we speak of holiness. Before creation, I believe the most identifying mark of the character of God was his holiness. We find in Isaiah chapter 6, we see it again in Revelation, where the cherubim are crying out around the throne. We find from comparing scripture with scripture that there are 5 of them, and they cried, holy, 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 at the throne of God. There was one who was the anointed cherub, the covering cherub, and his name was Satan. And we find that he rose up in pride and lost that place of covering over the throne of God. We find that because he is holy, the people of God were expected to be holy. Moses was told when he approached the burning bush to remove his shoes in respect to the holiness of Almighty God. We find that the Passover, when it began, was with a day of holy convocation. It was a time to have a holy day. And of course, the Sabbath was to be a holy day. We find in the tabernacle, the Holy of Holies, the very dwelling of Almighty God. And of course, we find that they were to be holy. In Leviticus 11, verse 44, he says, I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defy yourself with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Again in chapter 11 and verse 45, he goes on and says, for I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. In the Old Testament, the call of holiness is very well substantiated throughout the books of the Old Testament. We find it's because of the lack of holiness that the children of Israel go into captivity. God wants us today as New Testament believers to be holy. God did not save us to be difficult, be damning to others, to be destructive. God saved us to be holy. You know, I find today that a whole lot of Christianity is not about holiness, but about having pleasure, about what they can get from God. Going to church is not holiness, but it's about what they can get out of it. It's not what they can put into it. It's not the fact that you and I have a responsibility of holiness to God. Listen, because you wear a Christian t-shirt doesn't make you one. Because you attend church two or three times a week doesn't make you any more a Christian than sitting in your automobile for a time makes you a car. It just doesn't happen that way. We find today that the lifestyles of Christians is absolutely horrifying. We could ask this morning, perhaps in this room, where were you last night? What were you involved in last night? What kind of things make you laugh? What kind of things make you happy? And I believe we could begin to see that there's not a whole lot of holiness left. Judging by the lifestyles, I have heard many evangelists make this remark about our Baptist churches. We're not talking about the others. We're not talking about the liberal ones. But we're talking about our Baptist churches, where the Word of God is preached, where the Bible is believed. And I've heard them tell me from 50 to 90% of our Baptist churches, the people are not saved. From their observance, from church to church, that is what they've come to the conclusion. I first heard that from the lips of Al Wells, as he told to me one day, "Gee, the reason I preach to the people at the church to begin with is because some of them don't know Christ. Their life does not light up. They're not really sheep. They're not that which longs after the shepherd, but they are that which is in the category of lost, which are walking away from the shepherd. And so God wants us to be holy. Are you holy? Are you holy? Are you like unto him? Does righteousness make you excited? Is that your lifestyle? I can't say that for you, but I believe if you'd be honest with yourself, you could answer that question. And then if you notice in this verse, it said we should be holy and without blame. Very similar, but without blame. And notice how, before him, in love. This blamelessness is about our love for him. And when you and I have a great love for him, we walk away from sin, and we love the things of God. I ask you this morning, do you love God as he said, with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul? If that be true in our life, then I believe holiness comes forth after that. For we find there, he hath chosen himself, chosen him before the foundation of the world, that we should be what? Holy and without blame before him. How? It's a prepositional phrase. It's at the end of verse. What's it say? According as he's chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. How? In love. In love. How much do you love Christ? How much do you care about him? Now I realize this morning, there may be somebody in my midst. They have never understood the love of God and put their love back into you. They've never known holy days. All have been born of sin. And they need the Savior. He is there ready to save. You know, maybe it's off the subject a bit, but you realize that Jesus not only gave his life, but he shed his blood that we might be saved. There's a song we sing. It gives us doctrine, as songs ought to. It says there is power in the blood, wonder working power in the blood. And you and I today can experience that power by accepting that blood of Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our sweet Heavenly Father, I know this morning the voice is weak, but the Spirit of God is strong. I know, O God, that when we are weak, you could give strength. I know that physically. I know it spiritually. I know it in the depths of my soul. And I pray, O God, for any in this room who are not experiencing, not endeavoring holiness, that you would smite their heart. Maybe they come to church, but it's only on Sunday. It's not with purpose of seeking after God, but just soothing their conscience or finding a good time. Work at each heart. Bless, we pray in Jesus' holy, precious name. Amen.